Sports Talk. Sports Talk. On 702.
For the curious.
On 92.7 and 106 FM.
We're going to move this conversation on to a phenomenal woman who's sitting right across me. If you were tuned in a little bit earlier, I did mention that Sarah Khumalo is sitting, is coming into studio. She summited Mount Everest not so long ago. We all heard the stories. We've all seen or heard her interviews. And I'm very honored to have someone of your caliber sitting in front of me. Sarah, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
And welcome back to 702. I know you are a regular.
I'm not sure I'm a regular, but it feels like home. Your producers have made it very much comfortable for me. Thank you.
I'm glad. They do fantastic jobs, these producers.
Absolutely.
And you were nominated as a finalist for the G-Sports Woman of the Year Award. That is a fantastic achievement. What does it mean for you?
It's a humbling achievement, I think. Nomination, first of all, and being a finalist, it came as a surprise when Cass Naidu mentioned it. But it's great for the sport itself, because it's really a sport that's not very common. Mm. It's not a spectator sport. It's one that, as a climber, you make people aware of it. But I'm hoping that this almost like raises its profile for climbers that are coming after me.
You call it a sport. I wouldn't have actually. I would have seen it as an extramural activity, almost, so to speak.
Yeah.
And not because of the fact that it's not physical. It is physical, but it's just a matter of not understanding exactly what goes into climbing. Mm. I mean, what did it take for you?
A lot of training. I practically train every day.
Yeah.
I think people may find it not a sport is because you're not competing with anybody else.
Yeah.
Yes, there is being first. Other people are probably want to be first too. But you're really competing with yourself, you know, and digging deep. There's physical training, but there's also mental training, preparation for the climb itself. There are countries where it's really a sport, where people run up the mountain and then looking at, I've done it in so many hours and so forth. But I don't go for that. Mm. You know, I really... train so that I can enjoy nature, I can enjoy the climb, and I also do it to raise money for charities that have to do with education.
So you know, sportsmen are very visual people. Before you play a game, before you get into a racing car,
absolutely,
you visualize what you're going to go through. How much of that came into play with you?
You visualize. You have to. Mm. You have to see yourself on the summit. You have to visualize the journey to the top. Mm. But you also have to be real. Curveballs are thrown at you all the way because there's the weather that comes into play, people that you find on the way up. There's only one trail going up. There's only one rope going up Everest, and you don't know how other people have prepared for it. And maybe you go there, you've trained, you've prepared, but altitude sickness just hits you.
Mm.
So there's a lot at play, effectively, as you go up the mountain.
I mean, you go up, there's one rope. I remember there was the whole drama that there was a backlog because temperatures were perfect for climbing and whatnot.
Yeah.
And we were all worried that you would be you'd be stuck there. I was this close to sending a helicopter for you.
That wouldn't be the first time. Yeah, it's weather windows. So that's the other thing, the weather thing that I was talking about, where you need to make sure that the winds are low enough for you to be able to climb. Mm. And unfortunately, this year, we didn't have too many of those. As a result, everybody squeezed into the few that were there.
Mm.
But lucky for us, we did try attempt our summit earlier on into the season and didn't have to encounter the queues that other people encountered. Yeah.
Now, this has taken you to the summit. This journey took you to the summit of Mount Everest. I've seen you everywhere. You are a heroine in this country. Oh. You are a heroine in this continent and in the world.
Yeah.
What has this journey, where has this journey taken you personally from, you know, being on covers of magazines and all the interviews that you've done? And how do you personally feel about what you've achieved, and what does it mean for you?
To be honest, it's not what I expected.
Mm.
People said your life will change. I was like, oh, no,
whatever.
You know. I wasn't expecting it. What I like about it is that it suddenly has given me a voice, you know, but it also brings with it a lot of responsibility because people are listening to what I'm saying, which is a bit scary sometimes. So I have to be responsible with that. But it also has allowed me to almost put certain agendas up front in terms of I've struggled to get information on climbing, I've struggled to get sponsorships. So I'm hoping that it paved the way for others that are going to climb after me, even sports that are niche, that are not necessarily climbing, so that we can give them focus, because everybody is trying to raise the South African flag in their little corners. Let's support them in one way or another, you know, especially being a woman. If I look at the support that we give to Banyana Banyana as an example, when they're playing, we don't fill the stadiums as we should, should, you know. So that's almost what's changed. And of course, I'm doing a lot of talks and motivating others, because it wasn't my first attempt. It was the fourth time I was on the mountain. So everybody's curious about how do you get up and still go on and attempt. So, yeah.
Sarah Khumalo, she is the first Black South African woman, African woman, to summit Mount Everest. And she's also a nominee for the G-Sport Woman of the Year Award. You talk about the fact that, you know, you had to keep on going. And I want to talk about that resilience that you had and how you have now incorporated that resilience into other factors of your life.
I'm calling it failing forward.
Yes.
You know, if you fail and you don't learn anything from it, then you haven't failed forward.
Yes.
It's really learning from every experience. I believe that I was able to summit on the 16th of May 2019 because I took all the learnings from previous climbs and used that in this climb. So I think it's something that we should learn from. I'm using that at work. I'm using that at home. You know, I'm using that with my kids to say, you know, nobody said it's going to be easy, you know. And it's also a failure only when you decide that it is. If you decide that, you know, it's a success, it becomes a success because you've learned something from it and it will help you tomorrow.
Those are very powerful words. Speaking of power, your achievements has highlighted the power of being a woman.
Yeah.
You know, so many people have climbed it before. Here comes a Black African woman. She summits Mount Everest, and all of a sudden, the entire nation stands up and takes note.
Yeah, I think it was long overdue.
Yeah.
I mean, the mountain was first summited in 1953, so that's 66 years ago.
Yeah.
I think it's almost a way of saying, we keep going on about how the world is a global village. What are we doing to make sure that the next generation of African kids have a place, you know, on the table? And I think that's why everybody was excited. And I also think maybe it was timing. You know, we had just come out of elections and people just were looking for something to celebrate. And I'm grateful that this happened at that time.
Sarah Khumalo gets home. She puts her keys on the table. You know, ties her hair, pours a glass of wine. What do you do then to relax?
Well, chat to the boys, you know, just stuff about how the day was and stuff like that. And checking out what's happening at home, because I would have spent most of the time away. I read a bit. I look at emails, which is a bad habit. But really, mainly, it's just catching up. It's family time because most of it, I mean, I leave home at 5, so I don't have too much time, you know, with the boys.
And when you were training to summit Mount Everest, when did you get a chance then if you were leaving home at 5?
So I leave home at 5. I train from about 6 to about 7:30. I'm in the office at 8. I'm back at home around 5, 5:30.
Okay.
So that's the time before then, and bedtime, you catch up.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
And then you talk about the curveballs that you experienced on your way up.
Yes.
How has that now translated to your personal life now? And also, how has your experience on Mount Everest, you know, translated for your kids? How do they perceive it? How has their attitudes, or have their attitudes changed at school towards you and the peers and women and girls and all of these things?
So it's actually interesting, especially for my older son.
Yeah. He's
22.
Okay.
He's at Monash University, and I overheard him telling people that, oh, I now sit in front. He wrote me a poem after I summited, where he said, you know, people may think that you're an overnight overnight success, but those of us know,
yes.
know, you know. And then when I chatted to him, he was like, no, mom, even when it's raining, if you said you were running, you go and run.
Yeah.
You know, you make a plan, you take a raincoat and go. You've just proven that grit, determination and perseverance equal to success. And there's a lot of times when I've had to like, let's go to university and let me go register you. And this time he just did it on his own. Where's your card, mom? I need to pay.
That's fantastic.
And I'm hoping that it's not temporary. It's a permanent thing. It's one of the, for me, yes, there's a summit. It's another summit at home where I've seen that I haven't just shown them that it can be done if you persevere. I've actually almost laid the way to say, you know, life is not going to be easy, but it's doable. You know,
I like the fact that you say it's not temporary. You hope it's not temporary.
Yeah.
It's a permanent thing. And
yeah.
I mean, to climb Mount Everest or to achieve what you have achieved, you have to permanently work on it.
Absolutely.
And so you, as a result of that, the motivation that you have given your kids is, I would assume, something that happens more than once. I mean, motivation, I always say motivation is like a shower.
Yeah.
You know, you need it every day. You might not realize that you smile, but you do, right?
Absolutely.
And you need it every day. So what do you do every day to get yourself motivated? I mean, you're a phenomenal woman. You're a businesswoman as well. Just to keep on with the zest. And some days are better than others.
Absolutely. So I actually, you touched on something very important. One of the things that I've said to myself and I've said to my friends is I don't want to be a motivational speaker. I want to be a transformational speaker because you want people to hear your story, hear your strategy in order to achieve something and go and apply it. You know, when you motivate, then tomorrow you want more motivation. But when they start changing how they do things, it becomes a lot more permanent. Having said that, at the beginning of the year, I write a list of what I want to do for the year. And I come up with a plan. And I did that with my kids as well. So when I came back, I was the only one that had ticked a few things on my list and they hadn't. So I think going back to see whether I've canceled stuff on my list motivates me to say, oh, there's other stuff. There's only six months to go, you know. I think that motivates me. And listening to other people, because I don't have all the answers, you know. I listen to other people's motivational talks, and not all days are the same. But you wake up and say, there's another chance, let me go for it.
Where do you gain your strength from?
I think, I'm a Christian. I pray. I've got a circle of friends, you know, where I call them my tribe, that I tap into every now and again.
Yeah.
And I'm there when they need me, you know.
And they do the business. They recharge Sarah Kumalo's battery.
Absolutely. They make it safe for me to be vulnerable, you know. And it's okay.
Yes.
Because that day I'm not with it. And they lift me up and we move on.
So you have two boys.
Yes.
You are raising two young men.
Two young men,
What is more harder? What is more difficult? Raising men, young men, or climbing Mount Everest?
You know, when there's an avalanche. These ones are too unpredictable. Even the mountain can't beat that. But, you know, the mountain doesn't talk back and they just, they've got their own plan. But it's such a blessing to have them.
I'm sure it is. I mean, it's a blessing to have you. And you seem like somebody who's a very good role model for your kids as well.
I hope so.
It's fantastic. it does work. Well, one of them is sitting right outside. Are you planning on taking him on any mountain climbs?
I hope so, but they don't like
he's
hiking.
He's looking at me like, no.
No, he's a soccer guy. He's actually plays for Vets under 16.
Oh, fantastic.
They don't like hiking. They say it takes too long. I have taken them before, but they would rather do rock climb, short and sweet.
Yeah.
But you know, you never know as they grow older, they might get into it.
What else do you like doing?
So I run. I used to cycle. I haven't cycled in a while. I do a lot of hiking. That's about it. I read.
You read,
which is outside of that,
We've never really heard what business you in or what.
Okay.
I actually
I'm an executive at Momentum Multiply, and I also do a lot of raising funds for charities.
Yes.
So I'm a Mandela Libraries ambassador. I've built four libraries, three in Gauteng and one in KZN.
I mean, when you're meant to change the world, you're meant to change the world.
Well, they say that if you want to invest for 100 years, you must educate the children. So that's important.
That's amazing.
Also, I raise money, especially for this particular climb, for the Dr. Tandi Foundation, who looks after orphans and takes them to school from primary all the way up to university. So I look for people that are running good charities, and I kind of support them in that respect.
And that is your passion?
Absolutely.
Why?
Because I just, you know, I feel that I need to find a way, in a small way, to leave the world better than I found it. And that's what I think at the moment is lacking, leaving leaders of tomorrow that are going to compete with the rest of the world. Like I mentioned, we keep saying the world is a global village. What are we doing about it? Mm. We're celebrating today the women that walked up to the union buildings. Mm. What are women today doing? Mm. You know, what are we doing collectively so that our grandchildren are able to say women of 2019? So that's a struggle. I don't have the answer, but we need to talk about it. We need to find what is important. And for me, it's leadership, it's education, because that's the only way we can leave them ready to compete on a global stage.
Sarah Kumalo, you have at least left my world a better place today.
Thank you
so much for coming into studio. It was an amazing conversation, and we're really proud of you.
Thank you.
Really,
appreciate
really
it.
Proud of you.
Appreciate it.
That is Sarah Kumalo, phenomenal woman. She is currently nominated for the as a finalist for the G Sport Woman of the Year Award, and I'm holding thumbs and crossing fingers that she gets it.